Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, it's interesting. I read this verse in James, and it's one that, you know, most of us are familiar with, so familiar that we like to not read it, you know. It's interesting, you know, the Holy Spirit inspires the writer to say, you know, consider it pure joy. You know, they could have wrote, just consider it joy when you face all kinds of troubles, but they throw these words in there. The Holy Spirit puts these words in there that emphasize things to us. Like, consider it joy wasn't good enough, but consider it pure joy. You know, pure joy. Not contaminated, not tarnished, not tainted in any way, but pure joy. Not polluted by, you know, human thought or any attitude that isn't Christ-like, but consider it pure joy when you face trials and tests of many kinds. It says, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And if perseverance wins out, then we will find ourselves that we're not lacking anything. It's an interesting virtue, you know. We sometimes admonish and encourage people around us and say, you know, I just admire your example of faith and how you express your faith and live out your faith. Or we just say, you know, you're so compassionate towards people, and I just see you're filled with compassion. And we get, you know, these kind of encouraging words or compliments that we give to one another. And I just wonder if we ever get the compliment, an encouragement from somebody that they say, you know, I just admire your perseverance. Because perseverance, if that is a virtue and that is making us complete and mature, then we're not lacking anything. And so don't overlook the nature and the virtue of God that is to be established in our lives in the way of perseverance. It's the hanging in here, hanging in there. It's the, if you got nothing left, keep crawling, you know. And so here is this virtue, perseverance, that we're supposed to have and display his nature in us as we go through testing, difficulties, challenge, trials of many kinds. My daughter Sydney and I were having a conversation, and she was sharing with me where she was reading in the scripture and some things that stood out to her. And out of that conversation, it got my attention. The Holy Spirit got my attention, and I started to just kind of think about the scripture in Judges where Sydney was kind of reading through this book of the Old Testament. And she was sharing her fondness for the Old Testament. And after our conversation was over, you know, some time goes by, but it kept lingering in my thought and in my heart, you know, initially for me, and then felt like the Lord kind of shared with me and said, you know, this is what I want to say to the church. And so I'm going to share this with you this morning. And it's in, and I tied James into this. For this reason, look in the book of Judges if you want to follow along. It'll be chapter 3, and I will throw in addition some other verses. If you don't want to follow along, you can jot them down or go to the podcast in a few days, and you can kind of do the play and pause thing and look some of this up if you want. But in Judges chapter 3, now I want you to know the context and kind of the background for Judges here is the Lord is raising up judges to provide leadership for his people. Now, this is, you know, after they've gone into the promised land, you know, the promised land flowing with milk and honey, you know, the circumstances and situations and the abundance was looking pretty good after they got into the promised land. But we know that they had to go to war. They had to, though this land was promised to them by the Lord, they had to go in and also conquer people groups and nations. And so they went in and they did some of this. And of course, you know, knowing humanity like you and I do, even within ourselves, that, you know, when times are tough, we sometimes press into the Lord, and then the answer comes, and things are pretty good. We say, thank you, God, and then after some time rolls along, we get maybe a little lackadaisical in our faith and in our faithfulness. And, you know, he tries to draw us back. It's like he did with Israel. You know, he showed up and answered their prayers. They gave him thanks. They walked with him. And after a while, that kind of dissipates. Then the Lord, once again, tries to draw them back, disciplines them, things like this. And so this is kind of one of the places and stages of Israel's growth and faith that we kind of jump into here. And so it says, chapter 3, verse 1, these are the nations the Lord left to test those Israelites. That's just a great phrase. These are the nations the Lord left to test. Your translation might read a little different and may not use the word test. You might use a synonym for that. And so these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this, the Lord. He left these people only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had no previous experience in battle. All right, so I want you to know, you may, rather than test, the word discipline may have been used. In other words, the Lord used these nations, these people groups, at times to provide discipline to the Israelites. In other words, they served God, God answered their prayers, and then their faithfulness kind of slowly melted away, or maybe they started worshiping idols or not honoring God like they should. And so God would use these nations, these people he left, to provide conflict for Israel, to get Israel's attention, to turn towards the Lord, leave their sin, and count on his faithfulness again. Leaning on the Lord, having a relationship with him. So, you know, there are circumstances, situations in your life and my life that the Lord can use for discipline in us. To return our hearts and our attention and our humility that says, God, I need you. Or God, I'm so sorry. Some of the what's happening in my life is a direct repercussion of my sinfulness or my lack of faithfulness. Now, I'm not here to tell you that every circumstance and situation that you and I experience in this life is sent from the Lord as discipline to us. But there's certainly times that it is. And he used this in Israel's life. Now, I will admit to you that I would like a life without trial and testing. Is there anybody here that would agree with me, you know? Okay. But, you know, this is life on this side of eternity with God. You know, the perfect surrounding circumstance situations, well, let's face it, that's heaven. You know? And prior to arriving to that place and that state, you know, you and I are going to encounter what we call real life here on earth. And some of it we don't care for. We'd like a life of ease, a life that's filled with blessing and no testing and, you know, not those kind of troubles. We'd like everything to kind of go our way because we think our way is, you know, probably best. Or we try to convince God that it is in some manner. And so, you know, I get it. I walk in shoes on this earth just like you. Just because I have a title, reverend or pastor, does not make me immune to the things of this life. I is a person, you know. And so this setting and this phrase that says the Lord left behind these nations to discipline or test the Israelites. It just allows us to gain greater understanding. And it says that the reason he left these nations was to discipline Israel, but to also train. Get this. Because when they went into the promised land, you know, they did battle. Well, as time went on, those people passed away. Their children who maybe were in battle or saw battle from, you know, a distance, they grew up, had kids, passed away, now another generation. You get it. It goes on and on. And you get to a point where the Israelites did not know how to pay the price of battle or war and see God's faithfulness in it. They may have heard the stories, but after a while, those stories dissipate. I mean, do you remember all the stories in your family from your great-great-great-grandpa, who you probably never met? See, time, those stories end. Nobody remembers them. Nobody speaks of them. Nobody even knows about them. And so part of this was that the Israelites would experience how to battle, how to war, how to count on God, how to know him as a deliverer, and one who answers their prayers. For you and I this morning, I want us to keep in mind maybe the greater truth with some of our testings and trials. It's not just the test and the trial that we see before us, though it has its purpose and God uses it to bring about perseverance and endurance through these times. But it's not just about the situation we face. The greater and deeper meaning is that those who are around us would begin to see in us the tactics and skill and character and virtue and faithfulness of God in how we battle through these things. I want to give you an example. Helen, we prayed for people last week, and something happened for Helen. And I want you to testify, Helen, about what went on, what happened for you, what you were battling with, and what took place.
As many of you know, last year in July, I lost the love of my life, married nearly 67 years. He was my friend, and he was most of all my prayer partner. And for 6 months, I hadn't slept hardly a night, only 3-4 hours. And I lived in constant fear at night. I heard every noise. And I've been a Christian for many years, but I didn't want to admit that there wasn't anything in my life that I couldn't take care of. I tried to overcome this fear by myself. And it took me 6 months to realize that I couldn't do it. But I want to say that Clarence wasn't only my friend. I was his angel. I didn't have a thing on earth to wear. I was always up in the air, and I was always harping. So you see, Clarence had his work set out for him when God gave me to him. But anyway, I couldn't sleep, and I was afraid. I got a motion light. I left the lights on all night. I even left Jimmy Swaggart on the TV all night. I had a thing a friend gave me that I could pull a pin if somebody came in my house. It was loud enough, it woke up the neighbors, and it would scare the devil himself. But all the time, I was trying to take care of my own problems. I let Satan steal my fear or steal my joy. I let Satan steal my peace. And finally, After 6 months of struggling, I went to the altar on Sunday, and I cried before God. I got out of my knees, and I was delivered. For the first time in 6 months, I went home on Sunday night. I laid my head on my pillow, and I had peace that I would be safe. And all the time in the 6 months, God was standing there and saying, "Helen, Helen, Helen, here I am. Come to me. I am the answer." But I tried to take care of it myself. And if you're here today and you're a Christian and you don't have it under control, it's not under control. You have family problems. Your children aren't what they should be. You're held by a habit. You have angry. You have financial problems. The answer is Jesus Christ. I have a Father in heaven who has a Son. His name is called Jesus. And on that cross of Calvary, he died for every need and everything I ever needed. And I say to you today, and if you're here today and you're a sinner, when Pastor Randy gives that call this morning, you raise that hand and you let him pray for you and you accept my Father and his Son, Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you, Helen. See, the way that this connects is she was fighting something and having a battle. And she came to a place and said, "You know, I know how to battle this. I know how to fight this. And this isn't just on my own. I've got to call out to the Lord. I've got to do what the Scripture says. I'm going to admit that I'm fighting this, and or this is what my struggle is, what my test is, what my trial is, and I am going to bring it to the Lord. I'm going to receive prayer and the laying on of hands that we talked about last Sunday. And now, she has peace. She can sleep. She's got joy, and fear is not dominating her. Helen knows how to battle. She's served the Lord for a long, 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 long time. 1961. 50-some years. Okay? And through her life, like you and I, she's faced testing and trials and hard times. So, being the strong Helen she is, she tries to do it on her own, much like the person next to you. Of course, you don't do that, but you know the person next to you probably does. And handling it on her own and coming to a place that says, "Wait a minute, this is not how I'm supposed to battle this. I can put forth my effort, but I need to count on the Lord. And I need to not let strongholds like fear take place in my life." Look at this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life, which you have professed or proclaimed in the presence of witnesses." Fighting the good fight of faith. Listen, it says laying hold of eternal life. What you and I have to also remember in fighting these tests and trials is this: they are not eternal. Your circumstance, your situation is temporary. I don't care if it's for 10 minutes or if it's for 10 years or whatever it is, it's still temporary. We're supposed to fight the good fight here in the temporary, knowing that we're laying hold of eternal life by exercising our faith and faithfulness. Listen, all of us in this room are old enough to know that we face testing and trials. Can you recall something you went through at some point? And it's now over, and you're here to talk about it. It's temporary. It is not eternal. Fight the good fight of faith, laying hold of eternal life, remembering what's eternal and what has value and what will sustain us, and that God is everlasting to everlasting. And the things we face in this life are temporary. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll start with verse 3, and it says this. For though we live in the world, in other words, we're experienced with this life, its testings, its trials, its difficulties, its struggles, its everything that the world seems to offer, we do not wage war as the world does. Okay, now wait a minute. Remember, go back to Judges. God left nations in place to provide testing for Israel, to discipline them, to keep so that they would continue to call on God and walk with Him and honor Him. And know that when they're outside the bounds, they're going to have problems. And when they walk with Him, He sustains them and there's a peace. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation. And that those who have never learned how to battle and break through or come to an altar, get prayer, get hands laid on them, things that the Scripture talks about, they don't know how to battle or wage war over the things in their life, that they would now learn how to do that. Israel would learn how to battle, though they never experienced it. They would now have experience. So that they would be trained how to know the Lord's faithfulness, how to call on the Lord, how to stand in faith, how to express faith and faithfulness to the Lord and see the Lord's faithfulness deliver them. So here it is. Paul talks about it by the Holy Spirit. He says, though we live in this world, we don't wage war like the world does. In other words, when it comes time for us to battle, we don't wage war like the world wages war. We don't wage war like our natural tendencies want to take over. Oh, you want to pick on me and you want to down me and argue with me? Well, let me tell you something about you. And then we just get going. It's how the world wages war. Paul says this. We don't wage war like that. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself, every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient unto Christ. It plays like this. We're going through something, some test, some struggle, some trial. Okay? Well, as we follow Christ and we learn how to battle and wage war against things in this life, we know, I'm going to quote Scripture. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to get to prayer. I'm going to receive prayer. I'm going to have hands laid on me. Maybe it's a situation where I call for the elders and they anoint me with oil and the prayer of faith will make me well. Maybe it's simply allowing perseverance to keep me going regardless of the circumstance or situation, even in light that maybe God doesn't answer my prayer and my seeking in the fashion I think or hope He would. That at the end of the day, I'm still okay with it and I can trust Him. Over here, the world wages war like this. This is what happened to me. This is my circumstance. This is my situation. Well, if there was a God of love, He wouldn't allow this. And why would He allow me to experience this? And why was this done to me? And now we open the door to strongholds in our life of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hatred, revenge, and all the things that go along with it. And these things settle into our heart now. And we respond according to what's in our heart. And now we doubt God. And we allow thoughts to come into our mind that agree with the world. But not over here. Our stronghold is the refuge of God. And dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Even when I don't understand that maybe circumstances and situations haven't unfolded in peace yet like I would like, even though I've been faithful, it is not going to cause me to doubt and rescind my faithfulness to God. I am going to be faithful to Him regardless. See? That's how we wage war. That's how we battle through. When thoughts of doubt come, we don't allow them to take over and create a stronghold in us. We take captive those thoughts that set themselves up against God, and we put them in a prison. Solitary confinement, where they will never be able to walk around in our mind freely, planting bad seed.
that thought will never see the light of day in our mind. It's a prisoner. Because if we let it walk around, then we are starting to wage war like the world does. And all of a sudden, the stronghold of anger and guilt and all the things we just mentioned begin to take root in us. You see, the circumstances, situations, tests, and trials of this life are supposed to work a deeper purpose. We get fixated on what's going wrong or what's troubling us, and we just fixate on it. We just talk to God about it. And that's okay that we talk to Him about it, but we lose the deeper meaning. It's back in Judges. It's so that others would learn to wage war and battle and know how to do it. You see, we need to sit here last Sunday and watch a veteran saint like Helen come to the front, who's walked with the Lord for 55 years or thereabouts, and still come and receive prayer for a breakthrough, so that the stronghold of fear would not overtake her. And she wouldn't be robbed of joy because of a circumstance and situation in her life, even the circumstance and situation that unfolded in her life that she hoped would never happen in the losing of her husband. But she comes because she knows how to wage war. She knows how to battle. And where others could observe and say, wow, after 50-some years, she's still coming to break through and to receive prayer and be humble. Wow, she knows how to battle and war with things in this life and fight the good fight of faith. See, that's what we need to pick up. We celebrate that she's conquered fear through the Lord. But we need to take a note that that's part of how we battle and wage war. See, some of the things in this life are left for us to battle. I mean, the battle's the Lord's, but it's for this. It's not just only that it affects our life and our humility and call out the Lord and see His faithfulness. It's that those around us who are close to us learn from our life what not to do and what to do, so that they would learn how to wage war and battle and stand on their own 2 feet or bend on their own 2 knees before God and wage war in prayer and in the quoting of His word and the living out of His word. This is how they learn how to wage war. I'll give you this example. It happens in our homes. Okay, when our 4 children were at home, Sue and I, you know, when they're small, like any parent, you want to just rescue your kid from trouble because they can't quite handle it, okay? At least from our view, we just want to rescue them. And then we kind of discipline them, and then we kind of explain to them, and then we talk with them, and you know, and we do this just, we want to explain why, or why we don't want them to get upset over what we did, and we try to help them to be wise and all of that. But as they gain a little bit of age and experience, we allowed them to make mistakes. Now, Sue and I made mistakes. As parents, we didn't do everything perfect, but we allowed our kids to make mistakes. So that there would be a test, and there would be a struggle, and there would be a trial. We didn't try to bring these things on them. They were just acquainted with them because they live in this world. And at the time, you know, life was no bigger than middle school and having, you know, some girlfriends or a boyfriend or, you know, play on sports and then you didn't get selected or you didn't, you know, all the troubles that, you know, are so huge when you're 12 or 14 or 16. I mean, that's their world, and that's, you know, it's just the way it is. We were all there. And we'd allow them to make some mistakes. Why? So under our tutelage, they would begin to experience how to wage war and wage battle and turn to God and be humble before Him by what they saw, hopefully, in their parents of what to do and what not to do. And sometimes they learned what not to do. But I'm hoping that they saw some things of what to do. That they learned how to get on their knees. They learned how to repent. They learned how to call out on God. They learned how to struggle through anxiety and try to get peace from the Lord. That they learned how to wrestle through and forgive friends who didn't treat them well. That they could still trust and still love and be gracious.
that they could learn how to wage war and fight battles in their life rather than us just rescuing them, standing up for them, so that when they left home, out on their own, they would be equipped because they had experience in their own battles. They had experience in their own wars and struggles, their own testings, their own disciplines, all of these things that hopefully they heard, you know, their parents praying or caught them reading the word, not on display as like trying to show their children. It's just by the way that the parents lived. And so when they step into their own battles, they didn't have to think. It was something they caught by being around and being trained by that was the way of life. That's what God is doing in Judges. He says, I'm leaving some of these nations here to test them. Not to be hard on them, not to hurt Israel, but to discipline them, and so that firsthand, each generation could learn how to battle and war in this world and be victorious in Christ. And the victory in Christ isn't always that our prayer is answered the way we've prayed it, but that regardless of the outcome, whether we find it favorable or not, that we still are faithful to God, and that is the victory. You see, there's more to the challenge and the test that you face before you. I think it's just about you, or I think it's just about me. It's not. The deeper meaning is that those around you are watching and picking up what to do and what not to do by the way that you wage war, or the way that you just give in, or the way that you just get bitter, or the way you just get angry that never brings about the righteous work of God. See? Strongholds set in because you start to wage war. I start to wage war like the world does. Those close friends, family members, co-workers who watch you go through something, are they seeing how to battle and wage war and count it pure joy? Not maybe pure joy in the circumstance, but there's pure joy in the Lord, because we learn that circumstance, situation, is not supposed to rob us from our faithfulness and joy in the Lord, because they're temporary. And though they're hard and they cause some tears, yet I'm in the middle of crying and brokenness, there is a joy within us because we know that the Lord is with us. We are going to honor Him, even if we don't understand, even if we don't have revelation for it. We are going to continue to honor Him, and we're going to live faithfully unto Him. That no circumstance and situation is going to be a setback, and then all of a sudden strongholds come into our life like fear. When those things come, they should be a sign to us that we can use that thing that is meant to destroy us as a disciplining thing to move us into the camp of right thinking and faithfulness to the Lord. I'm thankful that we had some hard times, some difficult times. I don't want them. I don't pray, oh God, give me a difficult one. But I'm thankful because those around me could watch. Then my children can go out on their own because they watched us. They knew us. They watched us make mistakes. They watched us seek the Lord. They watched us quote Scripture. They watched us throw Scripture into conversation that we were having that was relevant to what maybe someone in our family was feeling or the attitude they were taking. How would they be if they never learned how to war and battle and left our home? What if the people around us who don't know Christ don't observe us warring and battling in the midst of trials and difficulties? An opportunity where we let the light and character and virtue of Christ shine rather than growing bitter. rather than being slanderous, rather than coming into agreement with the attitude of the world within them. See? These things, they're not about the circumstance and the situation so much that's hard. It's about that the people around us, friends around us, family around us, brothers and sisters around us, the lost around us, get to see how to wage war and battle. That they can have a first-hand look and consider, maybe that is the way I should go. Or that's how I need to battle and fight this. It's not just about the circumstance in front of you. There's a whole deeper meaning. Is that you and I learn how to wage war properly. That we learn how to go through trials and testings of this life. Instead of fixating on it and getting angry and getting mad and treating people bad and questioning God and where is He, and I've been faithful, I've been to church 3 weeks, I even tithed one of those weeks. Come on, Lord, that's more than I used to do, so, you know, move on my behalf. Now, we should be faithful to God regardless of how He chooses to answer or unanswer our prayers. That's how we battle. That's how we overcome. See? It's not about the circumstance. It's about Him receiving glory and the revelation of His faithfulness, and that we have pure joy because we learn how to battle. We learn how to wage war, but not like the world, not like our flesh. See? That's the call for me today. That's the call for you. So whatever you're facing, keep your eyes fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. Fixate on Him. You can glance at what's before you. Don't let it rob you of joy and faithfulness. Don't let it open up to strongholds of bitterness, unforgiveness, and all the other things that we want to do in our flesh. But rather take those thoughts captive, put them in prison, don't let them walk around free, and allow the Scripture to walk free in us. So that our stronghold is the Lord. Knowing that there's an audience around us who just might see what we're going through a little bit, and they observe that you are a good warrior and you're enduring hardship like a good soldier. See? And that they too can learn how to battle because of this life and some of the things that we face that we call trials, trouble, struggles, tribulation type stuff. God left some nations in place to test His people so that they would continue to call on Him and walk with Him, and the generations after who were there could observe how to wage war and be victorious.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.